Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. Good evening. yes, what? And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yes, what? And if you're a drug-free athlete and you're looking for a solid foundation to stand on, yes. And if you could drive your goals like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck. Through ice cream.
Through ice cream, yes. That's what. Yes. About that B4B muscle, yes. Flex a couple of times if you need to. Maybe have a cup of tea and biscuit. Yes, what? And now, Deborah, let us talk.
So I have visions of you sitting in a very proper stuffed chair wearing a velvet jacket with a little tie and your dreads pulled back in a very proper bow.
I would say they're a coif.
Like we're about ready to have a fireside chat instead of a real talk.
Yes. It's a chat. We're going to have a nice chat.
No, I don't think we're having a nice chat tonight. I think we're picking up where we left off earlier this week.
Well, there you go.
And so, there you go. Sorry to burst that bubble, but it's going to be good stuff, folks. And if you are listening to us on Tuesday, we got several more questions that came in, and we are going to be addressing those tonight, as well as any new questions that you have. And if you weren't with us on Tuesday, you really need to go to the archives. That too. Go to the archives, look for Zach Weider, and... did I pronounce that right? I'm sorry. Is it Weider or Weider, Zach? I should know this.
Yeah, that's Weider. Yeah, you're correct.
Okay, good. Good. For once, I didn't murder a name, but then I second-guessed myself. So does that still count?
Oh.
I don't know. You guys ponder that. But you definitely need to download it, take a listen, because some of this stuff, you know, Zach and I were talking a little bit earlier, and I'm like, how did I make it 43 years, and I'm still so naive to some of this stuff that goes on. And I think our listeners were feeling the same way. They were just kind of so shocked about just some of the information that has been shared that they just didn't quite know how to respond. So I think thus the reason we got so many more questions after the show, after they had time to process the information. But instead of just rambling on, Zach Weider is here again with us tonight. And Zach, why don't you go ahead and reintroduce yourself for all of the new listeners who are tuning in that couldn't join us on Tuesday.
All right, sounds good. Well, first, I want to thank everyone for having me back on the show again. I actually was re-listening to the podcast again, and I found myself like trying to put myself in other people's shoes who were hearing it for the first time. And then I realized like how shocking that some of this stuff might be. So I'm glad that you all have more questions, and I am definitely more than happy to answer all of them. But a little bit more about myself. I have been affiliated with various parts of the fitness industry for about 10 years now. Started off in gym management, worked my way up to overseeing a couple different gyms, and then I basically did the same thing with retail supplement stores, and that's actually where Kaylin and I met. So it was all a great experience, but it definitely opened my eyes to some things, and without kind of like basically saying exactly everything I said in the last show, I am basically here to show you a side of bodybuilding. And even, I mean, if you want to even call it like the social media fitness craze that people don't talk about and that I feel really needs to be said, because it's important for our youth to just be well-informed. We all know that like saying don't do something really doesn't work that well. So I think that if we just did our absolute best to just become as educated as possible on each of the topics that we're going to talk about tonight, even though they're kind of sensitive, that it's going to help a lot of people. So a little bit more, I guess, kind of about my background. I've pretty much experimented with every type of steroid there is. I'm not like, I don't want to compare myself to like Rick Piana. I'm not even 1/100th of that in terms of what I was doing. But basically I found myself just at a place in my life where I could really identify with bodybuilding in the way that I started to do that around age 17 or 18 was just to start trying different pro hormones at first and then different steroids in small doses just to see what they would do. And along the journey from then until now, I learned a lot of things that A, don't know, kind of like the listeners last time were really shocked, or B, just choose not to talk about, and that is the correlation between steroid use and recreational drug use that happens every day without a lot of us knowing. And I guess kind of the first little tidbit I guess we could ask ourselves is, well, how do we know? Well, people that do the things that they know deep down are wrong don't talk about them, and they go out of their way to make sure that people don't know it. So
yeah.
it's kind of my job here today to not only talk about what the things that people are doing, but I was actually talking about it, surprisingly enough, with my mom last night, and made a great point too. And she's like, you should talk about how it affects their families and the experience that you had, and give some suggestions on how to communicate with these younger guys and some younger girls as well about what it is they're doing. So that way maybe they don't feel like they have to hide as much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry, Kayla, I'm going to go ahead and just jump in here real quick, and I'll turn the floor back over to you. But it's just fortuitous that you bring that up and that you had the discussion with your mom, because we had several people ask that question in different ways. You know, they were asking, so Brent was asking, as a parent, how can I find a way to have my child open up enough to break through the code of silence that seems to be aligned with drug addiction? And then we had several more that were asking, you know, how do I protect my kids from this? It's a great way to talk about that. Yeah. Or bring it up, I guess, at this point, because we're kind of at a natural segue.
Right. So let's start with the protecting them one, because first and foremost, I think that's every parent's, that's what their drive is in all of their decision-making. So I never really understood that until recently, and I don't think that most younger guys really grasp that concept either, that all the parents are trying to do is help. But that being said, the parents also need to understand that your child, or I mean, I don't want to call a child, maybe they're in their 20s or whatever, but your son or daughter is at a point in their life where they're not open to feedback from you, and especially if they're in this position, because people that are generally open to feedback from their parents aren't tempted to use steroids for the most part and slip into recreational drugs. It's like the curious ones, like it's kind of how I would describe myself. I just grew up wanting to experience everything growing up, and I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there who have kids that are the same way. And I really don't think there is a way to really protect them other than just outright talking to them about it. So don't talk to them about what you think they should or shouldn't be doing, but try to just, I mean, identify with them as much as you can, because I'm trying to think back about like when my mom first found out that I was taking steroids, and basically it was, I just remember, you know, it was one of those points in your life where you're just kind of like feuding with your parents, just growing up anyway. And I had started taking steroids, and I remember she just looked at me and just commented how much bigger I looked and waterier, because obviously I didn't know what I was doing. But that's usually the first sign, is obviously a huge growth spurt, I guess you could call it, and then an attitude change, because that was the thing that she had been wondering about the most, but hadn't really been able to correlate why. But then as soon as she saw I was getting bigger, obviously she put two and two together. But to get a little more on topic as far as protecting them, it needs to start earlier than when you think that they're taking steroids. And I know that's like a weird answer, especially since I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to really say. But you just need to have that level of communication established already. And I'm not saying my mom and I didn't, because we're best friends, but it was more so that I just didn't want to disappoint her. You know what I mean? Because I knew it was wrong. And I thought the easiest way out at that point was just lying. And then you're so aggressive, basically, from the testosterone that you're not hearing what they're saying from the perspective of, like, I want to help you and just understand what's going on. You think it as, like, why are they trying to control my life? And all of those, like, young guy things growing up feuding with their parents is amplified by, like, 10,000.
Yes. Yes, it doesn't help an issue. It actually increases the insurability that it will be worsened. I'm going to go on the topic, but we're going to go to a different level, and this is something that we were talking about on the Tuesday show. And one of the things is that that like denial of the truth of what's happening. And I can remember being in a gym, and like this guy was getting ready for a show, and he told me, you know, us natural athletes have to stick together. And, you know, we were in the locker room, so I wasn't calling him out in public or anything or trying to embarrass him. And I was like, dude, you're not natural. And, you know, he got a little bit upset about it. And then I was pointing out the ways that I could tell that he was not. And he was so angered. He was just so frustrated at that. And, you know, I said, you know, are you more upset with the truth, or are you just really don't like being called out about, you know, the lie you're living? Because I didn't understand why he would get so angry. But, you know, I became one of the most vocal, hated individuals in that building for him, simply because I walked around knowing the truth of what he was doing, and he couldn't deny it to me. So, you know, could you speak on that and why that would basically have him so mad for so long?
Yeah, well, my opinion, and I mean, I wasn't really trying to hide it from the public as much as my parents, because really it was more of like a disappointment thing. But I think I know exactly why he was doing that. It's because whatever, and I mean, I hate to generalize it like this, but whatever, like, subconscious kind of self-esteem thing that he is going through in life that he's using steroids as a crutch for, that you basically were the one to break that crutch. So he's losing his he can no longer identify with this thing anymore because he's been called out. And I don't know, it's really – like, it's really honestly hard to explain. It's people that are in that state of mind just like aren't able to think rationally. They always play the victim, and nothing is ever their fault. And it's just, I don't know. I guess I really don't have a direct answer to your question. Everybody's a little different, but it all stems from something subconsciously that they're not bringing to the forefront of their life and hiding behind this. So I'm not saying it's always like depression or drug abuse or whatever, but I think pretty much anybody who takes drugs on a regular basis, whether it's for something that they deem as suitable or productive or not, or recreational, I mean, like, they got something going on. They just haven't dealt with it yet, because, I mean, life existing should be enough. Like, just being here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a tough one. What do you think is the reason behind it, because I could tell that it really kind of struck you, like struck a nerve basically with you, because he was just so adamant about the fact that he wasn't, and you know, you can just tell looking at somebody that they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest thing, I concur with you on the fact that he's now exposed and he can't go back to that lie. And I know that it hurt him, because he did a lot of, you know, boasting and bragging, and I think he thought I would basically be doing a rebuttal every time he did. But for me, it was, like I said, it was a quiet moment in the gym. He basically was saying something I knew was a lie, and I didn't want to co-sign to it, basically saying I didn't want to basically walk or let it ride, that, you know, I'm going to follow along with that lie and tell everybody else, yeah, you're natural. Because for me, you know, if, like you said, if you're doing it, you're doing it. And I didn't see,
yeah,
you know,
admit,
I'm not
yeah.
beating him over his head with it. So go ahead.
You were planning on, you know, harping on it for the next 4 hours. You just were wondering why someone would look at you in your face and lie. That's probably what a lot of parents are thinking when they know that their kids are up to something. They just maybe don't know what, but they're just not saying. And the reason why they're not saying varies with everybody, but it's just insecurity.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, the best way to reach out to your kid, I don't know. I mean, that's tough. I wish there was like a perfect answer for that. And I was speaking with my mom a lot more on it, and maybe this will help shed some light on it, is that I realize now she wasn't even really mad, even though at times I created a situation where they would become angry with me. But it just, they really just care. They don't want anything bad to happen. And the kid, like at that stage in your life, when you're like a young guy, plus you're doing that, like it just doesn't make sense to you. Looking back now, it makes perfect sense what she's saying. Like, if I had known that this was going to be the outcome, or that it would have put them through all that, none of these kids that are doing all of this would say, yes, I would like to put my mom through that or my dad through that, you know? So I guess go into the conversation with that in the forefront of your mind, that they're not like bad kids or whatever. They became ultrally obsessed with their hobby, and it, you know, it blended with some insecurity that they're having. Now this is the outcome that needs to be addressed.
And I would just say that, you know, there is no right, being a parent, I don't know that there is a right or wrong way to broach a difficult topic with your kids or with anyone for that matter, because nobody likes to be confrontational. Nobody likes to have to call someone out. But I will say, sometimes you just have to do it. And so
yeah, the only wrong thing in that.
We had a listener, in fact, who, so I'm just going to read what she read or what she submitted to us. And she's an example of what I'm saying. She says, "You guys doing this show made me really frightened enough to go through my son's room. I found 4 different drugs and some syringes. I am broken. I am heartbroken, but thankful. Thank that young man for giving me the motivation to be a better mother." So she's talking about Zach. "My son hates me right now, but I still love him." And so, I mean, obviously I wasn't there as part of that situation, but, you know, she went looking for answers. She found some, and I'm pretty sure the only thing she could do at that point is, you know, approach her child and say,
yeah,
what
and,
is this?
Yeah. And,
you know,
I mean,
right, wrong, or indifferent,
argue,
but it had to happen.
Yes. Some people would argue, oh, you invaded their privacy or blah, blah, blah. Like, my mom would find myself all the time because she went looking, because if I wasn't going to tell her the truth, then as a parent, you just got to say, okay, well, you know, you gave him the benefit of the doubt, and then you just got to go looking yourself. So at the end of the day, like, yeah, your kids can be mad at you, but I mean, come on, they're not just going to let them do whatever they want.
Yes. And I don't think, I mean, you're talking about a parent and you're saying strip them of parenthood because they have to be responsible. And they have to basically be that bad guy, quote unquote, sometimes, because that's what parents are having to do to save the life of their child. And when you're talking about a life, you're talking about something that's so valuable, that's so important, and that's years and years and years of living, loving, and understanding, and it can all be wiped out with drug use. And I think, you know, people are saying they don't want to basically confront that child in order to expose them to the mature life that they've adopted by drug use, because that's not a childish act. And I think if parents are questioned about everything, and sometimes they question themselves because they're questioned about everything, but on that one, they can't really question it. They have to do something. And until they get involved in that child's life, it will be confrontational until that child understands this is a part of adulthood and maturation.
Yeah, and another thing that I was thinking about, too, as you were saying that, let's look at both ends of the spectrum here. So we've kind of talked about how dark it can get, you know, with what goes on with recreational drug use and whatnot, but I'm not saying that every instance has the potential to create that, but I think every instance still has potential for them to not reach their full potential in life because their outlook and thought process, you know what I mean? So I'm not saying that, you know, if you catch your kid doing steroids, that chances are he's probably doing coke and partying with his friends till 5 in the morning on the weekends. But I am saying is he is now more receptive of those kinds of ideas because you don't have as great of control, especially at that age, over impulse decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I just woke up and I was like, oh, I'm going to go party all night. I'm just like, wow, I already feel like the man 24/7 because I'm on steroids, and it just literally makes you feel like a god. And now people are talking about partying, so I go out partying, and you know, whatever happens, happens. And I feel even better. So, and then the crazy part is then I would just, you know, I'm still health conscious, as dumb as that sounds at the time. So it's like, I'll just go home, take my supplements, drink my water, eat my foods, detox with some greens. You know, I thought I had life by the, you know what. So these kids aren't dumb by any means. And a lot of it is because they're just, a lot of them are, I mean, it's hard to say, but like, they're just so smart. That was me. And I just always wanted to know more and try more and experience more. And I mean, some people really wouldn't call that smart. Looking back, I mean, there's probably a better word for it, but I mean, maybe curious is a better word, but I always wanted to like know and feel everything. And chances are your kid's probably going through the same thing. So, you know, or how far it's going to get, but there's no better way to find out. Just do it. My mom is interject, because interjection,
yep,
even if it breeds a confrontation, or, you know, you think your kid hates you, just like the woman who wrote in about her son, you know, her son hates her right now. And I bet that it's going to be a feud that is going to take some getting over for probably months. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you just got to do it. There's really no other way around it.
Amen.
Nope. Parenting is never an easy thing. As much gratification as you get out of it and life-changing it is, no one ever said it was a walk in the park. So,
yep. So it's, right. Like, it's one of those things where, like, and some people would ask, how do you know if it's the right time, or if they're really, if I really think they're doing something wrong? Like, I mean, just use your best judgment. My dad always had a saying, I'll use the PG version, but it looks like poop and it smells like poop, and it's probably poop. You know what I'm saying? So if you're thinking it and everything else is adding up, it's probably what's happening. So it doesn't mean they're not a good kid. Just get in there and be a parent and do what you got to do.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Next question. I'm sorry, folks. I am going to move us along here. Otherwise, we will not get through everything. And we've seen this question in a couple different versions here, and I'll see if I can't try to bundle them together. But Sarah is asking, what is the appeal of promoting a natural lifestyle to the person who is new to bodybuilding? So coming over to them saying, hey, and, you know, acting like you're a natural bodybuilder, but then ruining them by letting them know you can get them steroids or some other drugs within a few weeks and months. Doesn't it eventually backfire? How can the mainstream still not know about this? So I think that question is, if I'm looking at it, do people who use steroids position themselves at, well, we know they do because Kaylin's example, they do, but to people that they want to help, do they first introduce themselves as natural bodybuilders? Is that an easier way to get in the door, or do they just, from the get-go, when they see someone that they think they can introduce to the enhanced lifestyle, they just present themselves as that?
Did we lose it?
We must have. So, Kaylin, let's go ahead and start with you. What do you think about that?
Hold on, he's back.
I'm back.
Okay,
you,
now he's back. Did you hear any of that?
Kaylin, yeah, I heard a little bit of it. It called right back, so I think I'm good.
Okay, so
okay,
either Kaylin or that, both of you.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, basically where I was going with that is I don't really think that it's an issue that it backfiring on them and the person that, you know, knowing their you know, true intentions or whatever, because the person who asked the question, her scenario really applies to the in-person type of thing where a lot of the facade is happening through social media. So these people never really have to genuinely interact with anyone. So they can do whatever they want, see whatever they want to be. Because, yeah, social media, I mean, you only see whatever they decide to show you. So, I mean, in real life, I think it's a lot harder. For example, Kaylin's no dummy by any means. So when the guy's trying to tell him he's natural, clearly he's like, look, I mean, I think something's not adding up here. Like, but online, how are you supposed to know that?
Yeah.
So their goal really isn't how can we help these people? It's how can I get these people invested in me, a person, and ultimately get them to buy stuff for me, you know, buy my supplements, buy my ebook, buy my training program, buy my diet. It's all about money.
Well,
so literally
that's
all
the
about
real
money.
Right there.
I mean, if we're being serious, I mean, do I think these people really want to help? Yeah, I think their drive deep down, you know, I don't think it's their main, I don't think it's what they wake up for in the morning, but at the end of the day, I think it makes them feel good that it kind of feels like they're helping at times, but at the end of the day, you can pick it apart all you want, but it's all about money. Like, if someone's telling you something that's a lie, and the outcome of that lie is that you spend money with that person, then, I mean, that really says all there is to say.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's the most important thing is just that's kind of how it's all starting, in my opinion, now, especially from working in supplement retail, speaking to all these young guys, is everyone's got an idol, you know, and mine used to be, you know, obviously the classic, like, Arnold, Frank Zane, that type of thing growing up. And, you know, right around the time I started using steroids, obviously I was no stranger to the fact that they were using steroids as well. But these kids now, like, they're scrolling through their Instagram. How often do people spend on Instagram a day, you think? I mean, at least 10 minutes out of every hour, it seems like. So these kids, guys and girls, are scrolling through Instagram all day looking at chicks in bikinis with six-packs and guys that skin is so dry it looks like it's made of paper and veins all over the place. And you know what I mean? Like, post here for my transformation, post this. I got the solution. So when that kind of gets drilled into your subconscious over time, you just are basically convinced that the answer is out there. You just don't know it. And clearly these people do.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I've always been, like, surprised with is that, you know, like, people will tell you, you know, that I knew in the back of my mind that something didn't look quite right, but, you know, they were basically going off of what they were saying and not the actual life they were living, because there's some telltale signs. And when you talk about basically the influence, like you said, these people become role models and heroes. So there will be some oversight, because what's that old saying, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. And the people you like, the people you basically support, you will have passed a lot of things in order to keep them in that light in your head, in that realm of distinction everything else. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. That brings up such a great point. So let's use this as an analogy. Look at pretty much everyone's fitness profile on Instagram, and I would be willing to say that 90% they're for, I mean, it's not really lack of a better term because it is what it is, but people are going to call it something else, their sales pitch, a.k.a. their persona that they put online, all of them are, like, demotivational or, like, they use, unfortunately, like, the whole, like, biblical angle, you know, and that's how they basically gain the subconscious respect of their followers, because the followers are correlating, oh, my God, look at these beautiful, crazy, jacked, ripped people, and oh, wow, look how nice they are. Oh, hey, look, he reads the Bible, too. Oh, my God, he must be just a great person, and look at all this motivational stuff that they're saying about, like, everyone help each other, and all I'm here for is to care about everyone, you know, like, come on, they're, like, it just, I mean, I saw right through it towards the tail end when I was becoming that person. And I don't know, it's just, it's hard for me even to see it from that perspective now. And Kaylin's been in the store before when I kind of, like, crack the news to people about, like, the real truth. And they're just looking at me like I literally just stole their first puppy. Like, it looks like I just told them, it looks like they just found out Santa wasn't real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, so you really think? Yeah, it's like you really think that this 6 foot dude that has 22 inch arms and has veins popping out of his forehead is not taking anything? And you really think that if you buy his diet for 6 weeks, that you're going to be closer to looking like him?
But yes, they do. And see, here's the deal, guys. And
yes,
we talk about this all the time, but you have to give them a little bit of leeway, because people in the industry can probably spot the difference. People outside of the industry aren't going to know any different. And in the natural community, they battle all the time, people thinking they're enhanced and they're not. So that line is definitely blurred from a visual aspect if you really don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And
I mean, if you really don't know what to look for, because we talk about this all the time, you know, natural people, they're out there, they're banging it out. Their bodies are phenomenal. They are genetic freaks, as we like to say, probably not the best term, but they just have that body makeup that loves weight and can put on muscle easily. And everybody's like, no, they can't be natural. But they are.
Yeah.
But then, you know, how does Joe Schmo know the difference?
Well, here's I guess, you know, especially with like people who are so genetically gifted like that, there's really no surefire way to tell, and I'd probably not be a good person to know that because I don't study bodybuilding as much as you guys do. But let's think about it from this perspective. Okay, everyone's been on Google, right, where you see those sponsored ads, and people pay for a keyword on an ad, and you click it, right? Well, it might bring you to a landing page, one of those like cheesy videos like, hey, are you in the market for a new car? Well, check out our new car place. Just type in your email and you'll get a deal on a new car, right? Okay, well, people that are like about to buy a car, maybe the car one wasn't a good example. Let's use a fat burner, right? Buy this fat burner. It's going to make you lose 10 pounds, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, that company is not, their target audience is not an educated consumer. Their target audience are impulse buyers. And that is how social media works. Social media is nothing more than a like macroscopic view of mass marketing tactics. It's to gain as many followers as possible and operate in single digit percent returns on those people to get a return. So you're gonna try to convince somebody that like if some rated out dude has a fat burner out there and someone's calling him out for taking steroids and not buying his fat burner. They don't even think twice about it. They don't care because they got so many people that are so gullible buying from them that they don't even give them the time of day. That's why this will go on forever.
Yeah. And there's a real truth to what's happening and people not wanting to see their heroes fall in the way they're falling. Because, I remember when Heath Ledger had passed away, and everyone said, oh my God, look at such a beautiful person, and look at that. And I was thinking, but look at the demons he was battling, where he would take his own life, overdose of drugs. Why aren't we basically saying this? Is Hollywood exempt from the pains of life that we don't want to deal with them or talk about them because we love Heath Ledger, or do we understand the fact that, hey, this guy basically took his own life because he was not dealing with the demons in a successful and positive fashion. And another guy was Kurt Cobain. And, everybody hated Courtney Love for basically being as raw and open as a wife could be at the death of her husband from suicide. And what she said, people were like, how dare she speak that way about her deceased husband? When the fact, this is a woman saying, I just gave birth to his child, and he didn't think enough of himself or me or his child to stick around and help raise her. And I was just so floored by that because I said, this is a woman being open and honest, and they're hating her because she's speaking negatively about their hero.
Yep, and that's why we have a culture that is ill-informed and naive now, and they'll believe things like they believe on social media is because we don't have real conversations with each other anymore. Everything needs to be too politically correct. You can't swear. You can't say this. You can't make this comparison. You can't make that comparison. I'm proud to say, actually, I don't think I have any direct enemies whatsoever, but there are some people that don't care for me only because I'm so blunt. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be known as that guy than the guy who said nothing.
Mm-hmm. True. And, and just to interject for a second, I know a lot of our listeners out there are parents and they're like really concerned now because they've never heard anything like this before. And, as a parent, and I haven't heard anything like this before. Yeah, I have concerns too, but, our intent is not to scare you. I think as we said in the last show, it's more about education.
Right.
So just be informed. Unfortunately, with the state of affairs in the world today, this isn't the first time, that a scenario like this pops up when you think everything is 100% safe for your child, and it's not. I don't know of too many things out there anymore that are 100% safe for your child, but it's more about being educated, preparing for your children to flourish in that environment as much as possible. And then, you know, at some point, you just, once they turn 18, and it's a stupid age because I think at 18, they're really not ready to adult the way that society says they have to adult, and that's
right.
a rant for a different day. But at that point, legally, you have to start turning them over. You don't have the rights anymore that you had before they turned 18 as a parent. So you just have to be prepared for that too. So it's more about just getting informed and doing the best you can then to help your kids understand and make good decisions.
Yeah, and I think one good kind of indicator to just kind of be on the eye, like keep your eyes open for the next step for your kids is if they become, less focused on lifting weights, or not even, that doesn't have to happen, less focused on lifting weights, but if they become ultra obsessed with the idea of supplements and, like, what can I take, if they start to adopt that attitude, there's really only one step, there's only one thing further than that, you know what I mean? So if they, I'm not saying that people who are passionate about supplements, but, like, if an unhealthy obsession with supplements arises, because I'm trying to think back to what, like, some of the signs that my mom would kind of like point out, and she would just mention that I was always obsessed with supplements, taking supplements, learning about them. Like I still to this day can tell you what anything does, how to take it, when to take it, who should take it. Like if they're starting to adopt that attitude, they don't have a malicious intent. They just are eager to learn more. And I mean, it's tempting. So that brings up a good point.
Yeah. So moving on to our next question, and I think this one kind of ties into the point that I just made or was trying to make, I guess the thoughts that I shared, and I am, hopefully I'm going to pronounce his name correctly, but Delana wants to know if steroids are prevalent in gyms or the gym scene. Is it a place that teenagers should not go until they have a full understanding of what could be in the gym that is not helpful? And Zach, definitely want your thoughts. But my thought is, no, I wouldn't prevent your teen from going to the gym because there's still a lot of positives there that they can learn about health and wellness. So I wouldn't stop them about – because this stuff, yes, it happens. I think that's the point. But it's not – it doesn't happen for everybody. This is about awareness.
Exactly. Just things to be aware of. Yeah, I don't want anybody to be scared of going to the gym now. I mean, we can't adopt that attitude because if we're going to do all that, you might as well pull them out of school because 100 times more drugs in school, but people put this on campus than will ever occur again. So, yeah, I definitely don't think that is the solution. I just think it's more so about making sure that you guys are in a good place to where maybe, I don't really know. There's nothing that can prevent it. It's just being, just know that you might have to step in and just put the foot down and have it likes, and that's just really all there is to it. Because, like, my mom would never say that I had any signs or symptoms of being. I was extremely curious.
Hey,
like
Zach.
That. I
mean, Zach, hold on. Can you move to a different spot because you're cutting in and out, and so we're hearing every other or third word.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
That's much better.
Okay, great. Yeah. So basically, what I was saying is, kind of just have a relationship with them that they know that you're going to crack down if something bad. Or if you know something off the wall happens like that, and there's nothing you can really do to prevent it, so just get ready to step in, put the foot down, deal with it early, because it's only gonna boil over into more things.
There you go. Question from Bianca. She says, "Do people forget the health hazards of such drugs, or do they just not care?"
I mean, for example, if in my teens, if you were to say, like, did you know cocaine was bad for you? I'd be like, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm also smart enough to know that, you know, more people die of aspirin and prescription drugs every year. And I mean, you could rattle off a bunch of meaningless facts, but like, that's just kind of the mindset I had was everything's dangerous. So I'm smart. I'm in control of my life. I can do whatever I want. Like, that's just the type of attitude that people have. And I don't think it's that they don't know or they don't care. They just think that they have everything under control. So I don't think they're dumb.
But I think that's a valid point.
I think that they just think they have everything in control. They think that they happen to them because here's the analogy that people who use make. Well, I know so many people that take steroids and they're just fine. He has kids. He has a wife. Their family is great. Everything's all peachy. Well, guess what? I know a lot of guys where it's not like that also. And to be totally honest, these people that you think their life is all peachy, like, you don't know the ins and outs or what goes on in their brain and in their relationship. So just like social media, people only you only see what people decide to show you.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's with anybody.
Because like I said, if that's their sales pitch, they have to market themselves well. And that's a 24/7 job in this social media world.
Yep. Literally, like, think about it. It literally is a 24/7 job. These people hire a camera crew to follow them around all day, every day, and then they pick out bits and pieces of their day seem the most entertaining, and then they show you it. Like, that is what social media is. How strange is that concept?
It's American.
And people eat it up. Like,
and we love it. We do.
I have my favorite people on YouTube and everything, and I always sit there watching their videos. Like, for example, Christian Guzman. He owns this clothing company, Alpha Elite. I've been following him for, like, literally over a year because I like the business insight he offers, and I like, you know, some of the things he talks about. But at the end of the day, like, I know half the time he's full of shit or full of poop or whatever. Sorry. But, you know, I mean, I know it's a huge sales pitch, but it's like I still sit there and watch it. So, I mean, it's crazy.
Linda says, people are not healthy doing this stuff. Why are they on magazines saying they are fit?
Because they're the ones that make the money. That's what it's all about. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
They do make the money.
I mean, who do you want to see? Some average guy on a magazine? Or you want to see a guy with a bulging six-pack with perfect hair and perfect complexion? And, you know what I mean? That's what people want to see. They're not going to pick up a magazine with an average guy on it.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback this one because this is something that I had a big issue with, you know, just coming from the natural realm. And this is not standing on a soapbox. This is just asking a legitimate question because after learning what I learned and seeing the natural guys basically going, you know, the Joe Schmo, the guy coming in to be, you know, to get that 8-hour job into a 10-hour job and still make it home to his family and spend time with them that would be quality time, not just, you know, basically getting home and going straight to bed because they're exhausted. And so I asked a lot of the supplement companies in the industry, you know, what is the deal with all these natural athletes basically living and breathing your supplements, and you never see one of any kind on a magazine cover? And they said, well, you know, if you think about it, we can have an enhanced guy ready in a couple of weeks, whereas it's going to take months to get that natural athlete to look anything remotely close to what they did when they got that win on stage.
They're on call all the time.
Yeah. And that's true to a point, but now you have more natural athletes like Zach was saying that know the diets, know better nutrition and have better coaches so they can be in that field more often, and they're not away from show weight on non-competitive days or months. So we still have to break into that mold because, you know, there is a standard and there is an ideology that we're not going to cut the mustard. So, you know, we have our part to do as well as natural athletes. And sadly, a lot of natural athletes aren't that boasting, bragging, you know, look at me,
and think about also too, like, what kind of like what it does to your ego when you're like using and whatever. I mean, this is these people's like full-time job. Like, their job is do photo shoots, hire photographers for social media, like their whole life is pictures, 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 pictures. So they're just ripped all year. And although it seems unfair, because I know how much smarter, I mean, for the most part smarter, I'm not trying to say that people who use are not smart, but for the most part, natural bodybuilders are just way more in tune with their body. They know more. It takes them longer, but the good news is, I think with all that's been going on in the fitness industry lately, and a sign of this happening, this shift towards a more attainable, and I don't say attainable in the sense that anyone can attain a natural bodybuilding physique competitively. I'm saying we're getting away from that like super heavyweight freak status, like 300-pound bodybuilder thing, that the momentum is shifting back towards natural bodybuilding, and I like that shift happening now. I mean, a couple years ago I would have thought it was not cool, but now I'm just all for it. I think that it gives people a more realistic expectation of what's happening, and I think it's just better in general because people are just less misled.
Yes.
So the shift is happening. So I think now this is a good. That's why it's good that things like this podcast exists, because it gives natural bodybuilders and natural bodybuilding enthusiasts a platform to say, hey, like, we know what's going on. Like, we're not completely in the dark. This is why we choose not to do what we do, and this is how we're doing it better. So now that you know these things and I know these things, why don't you try it our way? Because we do know what we're doing. It just isn't going to happen in 5 months or 2 months.
No, sure not. Okay, here we go, guys. We've got a comment / question from David. He says, I know the two guys that recently passed away didn't necessarily die from the steroid abuse, and he's talking about Kiana and Dallas, but from what you guys said on the show, the morals and mentality were right in line to ensure an eventual death. Why is there so much misdirection when trying to call this topic out for what it is?
Read that first part again. I want to be real clear.
He said, I know the two guys that recently passed away didn't necessarily die from steroid abuse, but from what you guys said on the show, the morals and mentality of these men, I'll insert, were right in line to ensure an eventual death.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Why
Here's
is there
a great point.
So much misdirection? Yeah.
Well, for example, I mean, it's really hard to die explicitly of steroids. Like, for example, they don't do a toxicology report and saying, like, oh, this guy was taking too much tren. Looks like he died. It's really the stress of years and years and years and years and years of that on their body, where they're priming their body for an environment that just is not sustainable. So, for example, a lot of people are speculating. I don't know the true cause of death, but a lot of people are speculating that I don't know if we're allowed to say the name, so I just won't. But the bodybuilder who died where they think that he was choking on chicken or whatever. I mean, he may have died from choking on chicken, but I mean, at the end of the day, what do you think that was probably primed by? Like, this dude has eaten chicken every day, like 8 times a day for 1 million years. Like, in my opinion, it wasn't probably a freak accident. He probably had a stroke or had a heart attack with chicken in his mouth and fell and hit his head on the ground. I mean, I don't think this dude doesn't know how to eat chicken. And at the end of the day, the other guy who they claim that he was snorting pre-workout or whatever, like, come on. You really think this dude sits around and snorts pre-workout? He's got more money than you know what to do with, access and a reputation for doing crazy, crazy, crazy things, and just his attitude in general. You think this dude's really sitting around snorting pre-workout? No, he's sitting around snorting drugs and snorting opiates.
Yeah.
I mean, people just need to keep it real. Like, come on, man. Like, if someone told you that you could fly, are you going to jump off a bridge? Come on. Like, it's like, we just have to be like, you basically that whole industry is thriving on the fact that they can just say it's one way. And if you don't like it, then basically they're just going to be really aggressive and call you an idiot. Well, at the end of the day, I mean, right is right. So people can call me an idiot all they want. But at the end of the day, I know that this dude didn't die snorting pre-workout. Like, you can say whatever you want, and I'm not even going to argue, but let's just keep it real. He was not sitting around snorting pre-workout. This dude had millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. I didn't even know that was a thing that anyone would even.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised that I'm sure there are more people than just one that have probably tried that.
He's made videos about it before. People make videos about it all the time, and they're like, come on, we're going to say this guy died snorting pre-workout, and there's literally videos of him describing all the drugs he's ever taken and how much steroids he's ever taken and what you should take if you want to be 300 pounds and take insulin and do this and do that. And here we are buying his supplements. You know what I mean? Like, we're buying his pre-workout. We're buying his protein powder because deep down it gives us some weird sense of affiliation and that he really cares about you, or like you want to be part of his movement, or you know what I mean? Like, come on, we need to find better things to idolize. And if you're looking for something to idolize, I mean, not going to be through these guys.
Well, you know,
it's
all right,
clear
that,
I need to spend more time watching
YouTube. If this is
going to
be real talk, let's be real, because the thing that was, you know, so surprising, and, you know, people are going to look for a reason for an out for, okay, he didn't have cocaine. I said, but the admission that he was doing the steroids, which is an illegal drug, last time I checked, and we just dismissed that so easily and look right past it because, like I said, this is our hero. This is the guy we look up to.
Oh, we didn't even dismiss it. That's why they made him the hero. They were like, oh my God, he's so real. He's keeping it real. There's a difference between keeping it real and feeding people a bunch of BS. So it's like the shock and awe tactic, because just like genuine people who can keep it real, there's people like him that know that keeping it real sells. So they'll feed you a bunch of BS in the mask of real talk and end up hurting a lot of people in the process. Like, how can there be a video on YouTube with hundreds of thousands of videos about how to take insulin?
Yeah. Good
like,
point.
How does that even exist? And how and so many people watch it. Let's say the video had 100,000 views. Let's just say even only 10% of those people were teenagers, when in reality we know his demographic is really 15 to like 23. No grown ass man is walking around worshiping, you know, the guy. So he's preying on adolescents who are looking for somebody to admire and know that he has that shock and awe attitude and that shock and awe physique, and that's how he makes his money.
Yeah.
We are a nation that wants to be entertained in one way or another.
Exactly.
It is just the way we are.
Yep. And so it's kind of like a culture shift that needs to happen, and it's crazy that, like, such a grand, like, broad scale topic like this is so now prevalent in such what used to be like a taboo, like niche scene, bodybuilding, you know what I mean? And I think we can really make a difference though if people are just more vocal about it.
Yep. I agree totally. Okay, so I know you guys probably like, she's not even listening, she's just trying to get on to the next question. I am listening. I'm trying to listen, process, and get to the next question at the same time. So I'm sorry if I sound so choppy when I'm jumping back in. But this question, kind of a gut check here. So Jake is saying, aren't natural bodybuilders the biggest hypocrites by saying they love the natural life and then take pictures with enhanced celebrities, a.k.a. drug addicts? Why don't they take pictures with the natural bodybuilding stars? Won't that confuse children as well?
I think that people are going to affiliate with. I think it's an individual thing at the end of the day, and I think that the more we can shift the perception to individuals choosing for themselves to not take drugs, then that's better. But guilty by association, in my opinion, doesn't really apply to this. I think that. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see it from his perspective, though, you know. That's a tough one. I think that you just have to draw a line and have some balance. You know, like, you can't help yourself by looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger and being like, wow, he looks great. And, you know, if I have a chance to take a picture with Arnold, I definitely would. I don't think that, you know what I mean? I think any natural bodybuilder, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. But I don't know. Yeah, I think that you just have to have your own moral compass and your own moral foreground to stand on and kind of use that as a pedestal. And hey, if you want to shake some guy's hand, take a picture with him at a fitness expo, I mean, whatever. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
There's some people that are so passionate that they wouldn't even do. There's some people that are so passionate about, you know, the natural lifestyle that they wouldn't even associate with people that take drugs, and that's totally fine too.
There you go.
I just think that you got to go with whatever you feel inclined to do. I don't think that whatever I'm saying or whatever anybody's saying should like shift, you know, your morals or anything. I just want to inform everybody. So if you want to take pictures with people, go for it. If you hate everybody who uses steroids, I mean, that's your opinion too, and that's totally cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to the hate part of it, but I do understand that question, and it does cause concern for me as a natural athlete and a competitor, because my angst, I guess, would be, you know, we cover as natural athletes on our social platforms, pages, whatever, Instagram, Snap, all these events that are enhanced, but I have yet to see many of them, unless they're competing in that show or have someone they know in that show. They don't really cover the natural element of the same fashion, and I just don't understand that. And like you're saying, I'm not really – this is like you choose how you choose, but you're really showing where your heart is when you're focusing so much on a life that you say you speak against, but you're not covering –
I agree with that for sure.
Yeah. I think that's where that question was coming from, and
that's
a great point. Totally understand that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. When that you elaborate on a little more, I could definitely see where he's coming from. I guess that kind of shows my ignorance in the competition sense, because I was never so I was never as dedicated as these natural bodybuilders are. So it is. I could definitely see where he's coming from now.
So, and it is all about perspective and conversation. And so, you know, I mean, a lot of questions
like,
we get,
that question,
you know, people are looking
that.
For like, yeah, they're looking for a black and white answer. And sometimes there is one, but a lot of times there's not, because it is perspective. But there's definitely sides that you could agree with more than others.
Yeah, a good rule of thumb is when in doubt, be informed. So if you don't know,
doubt,
like,
check
what,
it out.
If you don't, yeah, exactly. Like, if you don't know exactly where you stand on this, that's cool. No one's asking anybody to form an opinion overnight. But what we can do every day is just know a little bit more, and then maybe one day that definitive opinion will just come to us once we have the grand scope of info.
Yeah. There you go.
And the one thing I would say too, guys, is when you're listening to our show and we're presenting information, a lot of it is perspective. There's also a lot of fact in there. We do like to cover a lot of science-based things. But you know what? You should never just take our opinion lock, stock, and barrel for anything. Get out there,
do your
research, keep asking questions, and do form your own opinion. You're going to get a lot of different sides from the information that we present, and we have our own passions. But you should never take anybody's information lock, stock, and barrel 100% on anything without looking into it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why I was so inclined to do this show, is because I know that it's a natural bodybuilding podcast, and I didn't know to this extent, but I knew pretty much so that people listening would not know anything about this. So I'm just like, damn, it will be nice to just give them a different perspective, even if my, the things that I've said don't apply like across the board, which I definitely don't think they do, but it is more frequent than anybody has any idea. So, Yeah, that's my whole thing, is just being able to just give them an idea of what's going on, and that way they can just be even stronger informed. So it's not to, you know, make anybody scared, or hopefully people change their minds about something. I just think at the end of the day, it's better to just know, even if it kind of stings at first, then that's it. It's really only one option, in my opinion, is just know, and then we can just go on, continue with our lives, and that's it.
And I'd say that not to, you know, my last couple of comments were just to, you know, because a lot of things we do say, sometimes they do sting. Sometimes they do hurt people's feelings. Sometimes they let us know in nice ways.
I got a lot of flack for people like this. They're like, how could you say all that when you know this and you know that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, if anybody thinks I'm up here trying to say that I'm perfect, or even that I'm perfect now, like, I'm not even perfect now knowing all the things that I do know. So I'm not coming from that perspective at all. Like the show's title is, I'm just keeping it real with you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, okay.
Yep. And if your first reaction is to be, hold on, yep, but just one second. If your first reaction is to be angry, you got to step back, take a step back and ask yourself why, and then reevaluate.
Yeah, true.
And then look into it even further. Okay, go ahead, Kaylin.
Okay, what I was going to say, and this is something that Zach can speak on because he's the one that said it, and I remember before I was signed on with P4P, and I would go into Click Nutrition, and I mean, I was hot and bothered for this supplement, and I was so excited because, you know, they promoted it so well, they marketed it so well, and I'm talking to Zach, and he's like, man, that thing's garbage. And I'm like, well,
yep.
And he was like, so you still want it, even though you know it's garbage. So basically, you know, he hit me and it's stinging because I was so hot and bothered to get it and so happy. And yes, Dad, hot and bothered. I was like, yeah, this stuff's going to be great. It's going to really, yeah. It was like, I thought it was going to be like P for P alter ego. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't. He's like, man, it's straight garbage. And then he's showing me the list and the label and he's breaking it down. And it did hurt. And, you know, there was another guy that actually came in that day with the same amount of information and still bought it. Because, you know, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to believe it. This is how it was marketed. I believe it. And I'm going to do it no matter how much it costs me and how useless it is. I'm still going to get it. And we were just looking at each other like, you know, what just happened? Because it was explained in the same fashion it was explained to me, but it was not received that well. And, you know, the guy walked out with his container, strutting his stuff, and, you know, granted, months later, he's still just as disappointed, but he had the information. You know, the same information that was given to me was given to him, but he just didn't take it that way.
Yep. And just to clarify, it's not Click advertising the products. It's these huge companies that have million-dollar budgets that are advertising these products as these, like, crazy, amazing things with huge claims. And as a retailer, you carry all lines of stuff. And if people request it, I mean, you put it in the store. And our job, though, as balancing business with integrity is just to let people know, like, hey, don't get me wrong. If you want to buy this category product and spend this much money, I mean, I'm glad that you came here, but don't spend it on this thing because it's not going to do what they say they're going to do. But I mean, if you want to spend $40, I'll show you something else that's better if you want, or you can just save the $40. It's up to you. Like, and I think that's just how people should be in general when discussing these taboo topics that we've talked about before, because if we get so worked up about our, like, pre-perception, I guess, like pre-notion or formed opinion of the subject before we even started having a conversation. Like, man, there were some people that I used to associate with that were just not happy at all about me doing this. And I'm like, what? Why? I don't understand. Like, I never said any names. You couldn't even pick out a name even if you tried. And it doesn't make any sense. And really what it is they don't want people to be more awake to this, like, because how are they going to do their thing? This is their thing, you know?
Yep, and Yeah, I guess I don't even have, I'm stumbling with words here, but I totally get that. And it's like, you know, and I'll just use Kaylin and I as example, because we do cover some controversial things, and each of us have very strong opinions on different aspects of the sport and other topics that we talk about. And, you know, people like to tell us how we're wrong and how we cross the line or this or that because our views are not in line with their views. But yet they don't want us to be able to come back and be angry with them because they disagree with us. And actually we're not, because this is about conversation.
Yeah.
And a lot of times and sometimes we get some scathing stuff, guys. Let's just be real here. It happens. But it doesn't discourage us from, you know, having a show and still promoting dialogue. And it doesn't encourage us to be nasty back, because that's just not what we're going to do. I mean,
yeah,
it's your opinion.
Sure.
We're sorry if we stepped on your toes, but you feel how you feel, we feel how we feel, and we just have to agree to disagree on that. But that's just how,
We could have had a caller that call in and said the polar opposite. You know what I mean? Like, we could have had a caller call in and say, I've been taking steroids for 30 years and I'm just fine. And every day I wake up and shoot 2 cc's of test in my butt cheek and I feel great and I got a kid and I got a great job, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, that's where these people that were coming at me were like, how are you going to say all that when you know that I'm successful and I'm this and I'm that? And I'm like, the fact that you're getting angry at me and I didn't even say any names just goes to show you that maybe you aren't quite as happy as you're preaching out to the world or getting mad at me for, because I mean, I'm doing just fine and I'm the one who spilled the beans. You know what I mean? Like, if anybody should be feeling weird, it's me, not these guys. I never even said anything about them.
And I don't even know that you spilled beans. I mean, it's truth, just no one else is talking about it. It may not be truth for every single person out there, because it's like the person who you want someone to quit smoking because we know smoking is bad and we know it causes black lung and this, that, and the next thing. But then you have the 95-year-old who smokes a pack every day and has great cardiovascular capacity.
Yeah,
what are you going to say to that?
Exactly.
Not a darn thing.
Exactly.
You know, you just can't.
Yep.
So, guys, you just have to know. Yeah, there are some people who are going to be very successful at steroid use. We can't deny that. But there are a whole slew of other folks who are not, and especially young people who are not, and that's what you just need to open your minds to and have the full story, and that's the long and the short of it. Last question for tonight, guys. Great conversation. Guys, keep the questions coming. We've got room for maybe one or two more, but if not, that's okay, too, because we've covered a lot of ground. Okay, and I don't know if we've got an answer for this, but, Zach, every time I thought we wouldn't have an answer, you've had an answer, so here we go. Charles wants to know what part of the mind morally makes the decision to cross over to go further in a negative way. So, and maybe you can answer this from your own perspective. What part of it, you know, you said you were curious, but what triggers, what switch flipped in your brain that said, I'm going to keep going further down this path?
I think that it really is, like, when I say curious, I don't just mean like, oh, what's this button do? I mean, like, people are like very inclined to, like, it's almost like OCD. Like, I just became obsessed with what if, you know, and that's why I think that it's important to know who we're idolizing, because if we say what if to ourselves long enough, the obstacles in between you and temptation just slowly seem less big.
Yes. That is so
true. You can tell, like, for,
I mean,
that,
not
like,
just for this,
like,
but
if
anything.
If you told me you were never going to do drugs, but every single weekend you went to a club in the city on Friday, Saturday, Sunday for 6 months, at some point in time there, you could have been the most, like, avid non-drug user ever. But, like, if you do it every day and you're around it every day and you see all these people seeming what looks like fun, like, it's going to cross your mind eventually. Like, so just if you're at constant exposure to it at that degree, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying a lot of it starts with, you know, two people working out that are gym partners and they're young guys and one decides to use and the other one doesn't, and they continue to work out together. Okay, well, after some time of the guy who's natural watching the big guy explode and they've been best friends for years, and he looks at him, he's like, well, he's healthy as an ox, but look at his shit, he's two times bigger than me. I mean, clearly he's going to be like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
Literally.
So it's not that, literally. So, I mean, I don't think it's as much as like they're like crumbling morally. I just think that they just, it seems less of a big deal than it really is. No matter, to the people who have that level of knowledge.
Gotcha.
You know,
good answer.
Let's get on this one. Because like I said, I know my personality. And like I was saying, when I was the alcoholic and, you know, happened to be drunk starting Tuesday to start my weekend. So, you know, there's a truth you have to admit to yourself. And like Zach's saying, if I'm around it, then more than likely I probably would have found a way. And I'm thinking, I never wanted to be that guy. I never wanted to be in that realm because there's just nothing appealing to it. But like he's saying, if you keep staying in that arena, sooner or later, it's going to start to make sense. And I think that's why people have always said that old cliche, you are the company you keep. And, you know, it's so many times that we're in situations that we don't have to be. And I think that's what Zach is touching on, is that – you know, if it's not a part of you, then why are you there? If it's
that's a good
your atmosphere,
point.
Then why are you breathing it? Yeah.
Yep, that's a great point. Yeah, exactly. If you're really that adamant about staying natural, then part of that is just not training with people who aren't natural, not because you don't like them as a person, but it just, you know what I mean? Like, for example, if you don't do any drug, like, you don't hang around with other people that do drugs all the time. So, I mean, you just got to kind of remove yourself from the situation. And I'm not saying that people aren't strong enough to say no. I'm just saying that there comes a point where even things that seem like you shouldn't do them become less severe sounding. And even the strongest willed people, like, think about how great Kalen, of a person that Kalen is, and here he is admitting that he was an alcoholic. Well, do you think that he just woke up every day and wanted to hurt his friends and family, and you know what I mean, like with all, and all the consequences that come with being an alcoholic? No, these people just made a choice and it got out of control, and it's not like they're doing it to be malicious.
All right. Next question. I think it's going to be our last question. It's from Charles. And I don't know that there are stats to support an answer, but he wants to know how many deaths happen in the natural industry as compared to the enhanced community.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm not sure about stuff like that.
I don't think there's anything definitive.
Another thing to kind of tie into this that will kind of let us expand a little more is we got to think about the sport death in all sports in general. Like, it's tragic when it happens in bodybuilding, but it happens in every single sport because people are pushing their bodies to the absolute limits. Like, think about all the people that play football that grow or that get old and they're like walking vegetables because they've had so many head tackles and stuff like that. So, I mean, it happens in everything where people are going to the absolute max. So in natural bodybuilding, they're going to the absolute max. They've just not included drugs. So I think there's still, I don't know. It's an interesting correlation. I haven't personally seen any facts on it, but I would definitely check them out if there were some available.
Yes.
And, you know, and I've looked into this myself, and I don't know that there is nothing out there definitive, and if anybody is listening that knows of stats that are more definitive, then would love to see that. But as you said earlier, I mean, most deaths that I guess okay I'll just say that most deaths that you might want to point to steroids as the cause, no autopsy is going to say died from steroids. It's going to be a heart complication, a liver complication. It's going to be all of these organs that failed. But then why did they fail? That's the next obvious question.
Right.
But it never gets asked. We just accept they had heart failure, kidney damage, liver failure,
or
whatever.
Like, a good example is like remember the whole Chris Benoit thing, the wrestler that killed his family or whatever. Everyone was like, people are quick to pawn it off on a million different things. And do I think that steroids made him more aggressive? Yes, for sure. But what people also fail to realize too is he was on a bunch of different like antidepressants and some of the things that we talked about on the last show where like parents that are taking their kids to the doctor because they're acting irrationally and the kid's not telling them they're taking steroids. So now they're on, you know, Prozac and Adderall and all these different things. Like, we're talking about things that change our brain chemistry plus steroids that like super assertive and super aggressive. So we're literally living like in another reality. Their perception of things like is not normal, which goes to show you because the dude killed his whole family. I mean, I don't think people just don't do that. And I don't know of anybody who just takes steroids and kills their whole family.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tack on to what you guys are talking about with deaths, because, you know, when I started basically doing the research about steroids and deaths, that was one of the first things that it was glaring that no one was dying of steroids. And I said, well, then I equated it to like the AIDS virus. But no one's dying of AIDS. They're dying from the symptoms that are related to AIDS. Basically, anytime it was documented, like Zach is saying, it's basically being played down as something other than the actual cause. I mean, because you don't have cause and effect. And I think that's where, you know, in order to promote the industry of drug use, which would be the steroid, you basically have to deflect from the side effects and the harmful things that happen from its use. And I think that was one of the things that was marketed best. And I hate to say it that way, but that's exactly what it was. And like Zach said, if we're going to be real, then let's be real. It was marketed so well that there are no real side effects negative impacting of steroid use.
Yeah, they're only talking about direct effects of the drug. You know what I mean? Like, they're not talking about all of the other things that happen with using them mentally and in other areas of your life. All they talk about is, if you take testosterone for 12 weeks, the data shows that no changes were found in liver values. Like, that's the data that they go by. And, I mean, although I do think data is extremely valuable, I think that a lot more can be said when we just look at a population and just observe them. Like, we can see, we can put two and two together.
Yes. And they don't want you to put two and two together, so that's when the marketing part of the industry.
Yeah, that's why they back
in.
It up with the data. How can you say that when the data says this?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, what was that, Charles? So, Charles, I hope that answered it, because you're not, even if you do the research, it's going to be deficient.
Skewed.
And I hope that's a good way of saying it, because you won't be getting the actual factual information, because no one really wants to cover that arena, because there's so much money involved in that part of the industry. And let's be honest, you know, you don't really have an Olympia without everybody really going to jail if they had the police do a raid on that place. So,
look at all the stuff that just happened, in Florida with, I don't want to say his name, but the other famous YouTube bodybuilder who had that gym in Florida, Muscle Addict.
There you go.
And, those dudes were literally like, I will just get, actually, you know, whatever, we can say it, it's all public knowledge anyway, but these dudes were literally running a website, fronting as doctors, shipping out steroids with, like, basically the prerequisite was, we'll write you a script for it, we have a doctor on staff, but really you just added it to the cart and checked out and it came to your house. And, like, they were making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, meanwhile, all online, being like, we're natural, come check out our gym, look at us, you can be just like us. And people were clearly eating it up. And even the ones that were buying the stuff from them online, like, they would still eat it up, too, because, like, it's just something that they can identify with. And that ties right back into the whole, like, who are we idolizing here?
Yes. And, you know, and I've had to start saying this within the last 2 years. I said, just because you're legal, a.k.a. prescription, doesn't mean you're natural. And I think, it's been marketed so well that no one is really coming to the grips of just how drug addicted we are. And, you know, we're not bashing steroids. We're not bashing, because you have to bash the person to do that as well. And I think we have to be mindful that we're talking about human beings, and you know,
and this is a big business. It's a big business, and we just got to be wary of the fact that we can't start just treating ourselves purely out of what we hear and the things that we read. We gotta kind of let our best judgment take over sometimes. Like, if something's illegal, but you can go online and buy it and then inject it into yourself, like, chances are there's gonna be one or two things that aren't supposed to happen that happen. It's like, for example, if someone just handed you a pill and was like, oh, take this pill and it'll do this. Yeah, I mean, no one in the right mind would just grab the pill. But if 100 people that you looked up to all came up to you and ate that pill in front of you, you'd be way more inclined.
True.
Oh, yeah. You would do. Did I just say that 3 times? Oh, my gosh. So I'm glad you were counting.
Good thing it was Beetlejuice.
It was a good thing. It's a good thing. And we have some folks who are like, why are you guys still talking? This show is so long. And you know what, folks? This show is long, but we had a lot to cover. But we're going to wrap. We're going to wrap now. So, Zach, thanks so much for sharing everything you shared with us again. And, dude,
thanks just for coming back.
Kudos to you for being brave enough to come back for a second show when you got beat up so tremendously the first time. So just thanks again for sharing your perspective. And we do have time, even though the show is long. So if folks, you need to tune out now, that's okay. But do come download the show later so you can hear Zach give his shout out to any and everyone who has been supportive of him through his journey and is still going to be supportive of him even after back-to-back episodes on P4P Real Talk.
Oh, heck yeah. I appreciate that. So yeah, I definitely want to shout out my parents first and foremost for putting up with all the headache that I put them through over the years. I know I definitely drug them through the mud, but as mad as they were sometimes, they were always there for me, and they're just pretty much the epitome of great parents. So the thanks definitely goes to them. And then also, like I said in the first show, my best friend Kyle, who passed away a couple years ago due to a lot of the things that we were talking about, definitely goes out to him. And pretty much just everyone who, and my girlfriend Sarah, she's definitely seen some ups and downs from me as well. So yeah, pretty much everyone who stuck there by me, thank you. And also to the people who didn't, that's all good too, because in order to truly see your purpose, you gotta lose some things that are meaningful to you.
Amen to that. So,
amen.
Kalen, last minute thoughts, dude.
Well, I'm going to take it home by saying this. You know, I hope people don't think that Zach was here to bash anyone or that he was trying to say anything. He was trying to open the dialogue. He was trying to open people's minds to the bigger realm of what we're dealing with, for the children, for the up-and-comers, for the people that don't know, for the people that are ignorant. And I'm not saying, I mean, people get frustrated when you hear that word, but it's not saying anyone is stupid. You're just not in knowledge of what you need to know. And that's where he did this. That's why he's always been doing what he's doing. That's his passion. That's his gift. So, you know, Zach, thanks so much for sharing that gift, and thanks for being real about it and not pulling any punches, because I think a lot of parents were really shocked with you the first show, but they're ready to deal with you now, and they're also dealing with their children as well. And that's why we were doing what we're doing, and that's why we do what we do. So thank you, and thank God for you. And any last-minute statements, my brother, before we end it?
No, that's it, my friend. I just want to thank you guys again for having me on, and I know I'm pretty long-winded, but you guys gave me a great platform to get my message across, so I just want to thank you.
Amen to that.
Well,
Dad,
blessed to have you. Blessed to have you. All right, and you know, normally I would put you on the spot and ask you what your favorite protein flavor is, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm not going to do it, but you and I can talk about that offline. We can talk about that offline.
All right, cool.
And I'm pretty sure it's chocolate and it's not snickerdoodle, but like I said, we'll talk about that offline.
All right.
With that, Kalen, snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle for this last wienerfoodle, yeah.
So on behalf of Zach, Kalen, myself, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.